Our gospel for tonight is taken from John, the 13th chapter. Now before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. And then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" And Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." And Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example, that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Here ends the gospel. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Dear God, as we venture together through Holy Week, help us to be ever mindful of the words that Jesus spoke to his disciples in their last meal together. Ever mindful that this meal has been given for us. Help us to live intentionally, faithful to your commandment to love one another, just as you love us. Strengthen us and nourish us for the journey that lies ahead. Amen. So tonight we have two big themes, so to speak. We have food and we have feet. In Paul's letter to the Corinthians, we're reminded of the words that Jesus spoke to his disciples as they joined together in their final meal before his crucifixion. And in John's gospel, we have Jesus washing the feet of his disciples, teaching us how to live humbly and serve one another. So let's talk about food first, shall we? Because food is pretty powerful stuff. It's one of those things that not only satisfies our physical hunger, but it also has a way of bringing people together. Let's think about that. Studies have shown that families who eat at least one meal together each day generally have better family relationships, they make healthier food choices, and they report greater happiness and less stress. Food is good for the soul. Family reunions and some church and work functions typically center around that oh-so-famous potluck meal. Everyone brings a single dish to share, and nobody goes away hungry. And if we look back at our Lenten services, what do we do right before worship? We sit together at tables, and we enjoy soup suppers and each other's company. So there's something very comforting about food. I can remember growing up and going over to my grandparents' house on holidays, especially Easter and Christmas. My grandma was an amazing cook. So the minute you walked up those front steps, it smelled like the holiday. You had the mouth-watering saltiness of the ham, those soft and fluffy mashed potatoes, with the homemade gravy that never had any lumps. I don't know how she did it. And then she had the green beans that were frozen from the summer before from the garden, and they were now thawed and slathered and boiled in butter. And then that flaky cloverleaf dinner roll that you could use to just sop up the gravy that was left over on your plate. So the minute you entered their house, you knew it wasn't just a typical everyday meal. And there would be Grandma standing by the stove, prepping and orchestrating it all without even breaking a sweat. So I definitely remember and enjoy that taste of the food. But even more so, I remember sitting around the dinner table and how that meal made me feel. Feelings of warmth and joy and love and contentment. It was the feeling of belonging that comes with being a part of a family. Now, I tell you this not because I want to make your mouths water and make you all physically hungry right now, but I share that with you because those emotions, the love that was poured into that preparation of the meal, and the joy and the love and the sense of belonging that was in turn experienced by all of us around the dinner table, those are the very feelings that lie at the heart of Holy Communion. Think about the love that was poured into this meal for us. The body and blood of Jesus who died for us, who bore our sins and suffered so that we could live. There's truly no greater love than that. And for those of us who gather around this table and receive this sacrament, we get to experience those feelings of warmth and joy and love and contentment, the feeling of belonging that comes with being a part of so much greater than ourselves. It's the feeling of belonging to a family. There's something about food that unites and connects us all on a deeper level. Now think about Jesus. Throughout his life, Jesus was often criticized by religious and social leaders of his day because of his choice to eat with the social outcasts, those who were deemed unworthy by many people. Tax collectors, the sick and the lame, sinners. Jesus did not exclude anyone from dining with him. His invitation to people of all walks of life was simply, come. And so the invitation stands for each of us. Come to the table. By joining together here at the invitation of our Savior, we receive the bread and the wine that spiritually fills and nourishes us and unites us as a family, and nobody goes away hungry. Now, while the gospel texts from Matthew, Mark, or Luke all detail the Passover meal that Jesus shared with his disciples, the Last Supper that he would have with them before his crucifixion, John's gospel text that we read just moments ago chooses to place its focus on the washing of feet, an act that Jesus performs as the meal is being shared. So let's talk about feet. They're not the most attractive things, let's face it. They're designed to carry us from one place to another, and because of that, they can take quite a beating. Feet easily get dirty because they're almost always on the ground. They sweat in shoes. They can develop blisters and bunions and calluses from the footwear that doesn't exactly fit right, and sometimes they outright smell. So most of us would likely not choose to touch another person's feet on a routine basis. But in the days of Jesus, to wash the feet of others was to recognize them as welcome guests and to remove any barriers that might keep them from the table. Because people walked considerable distances on dusty roads back then, washing feet could be quite the job, and it was typically designated as a role for the lowest servants in the house. But in our gospel text, here's Jesus, the host of this meal, getting up from the dinner table, towel in hand, stooping at the feet of his disciples, and washing their feet. Now, this was an act that showed great humility, hospitality, and compassion. Even though the disciples are confused in this moment and they don't understand what's happening, Jesus tells them, if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Jesus models the type of service that we are to share with one another. Not that we have to physically touch one another's feet, but we are called to remove and wash away all barriers, to welcome all people as guests, no exceptions. The way in which Jesus lived his life prepared him to host this final meal and to humble himself in front of his disciples. In life, he continually built upon his teachings, sharing with his disciples little by little what they needed to know to lead lives of service. And now, aware that his death was drawing near and that his disciples would be facing new challenges, Jesus continues that pattern. Serve one another and love one another as I have loved you. Funny thing about feet, they can be dirty and sweaty and smelly and calloused, but they also carry us from one place to another, which is symbolic of the way that we share the gospel message with others on the journey in this life. So you see, food and feet, they kind of go hand in hand. Like Jesus' disciples, we're invited to gather and remember the sacrifice and the significance of his table. We're united as we commune with one another, and then we're commissioned to go out in the world and share his love with others. Gather, and then go forth and serve. Food and feet. We come to the table to be spiritually filled and to be reconciled to God, to receive Christ's body and blood, and also to receive one another. Just as Christ stands with each of us, so we stand and walk with one another. Jesus said, I give you a new commandment that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, so also should you love one another. Because by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples. So tonight, as we come forward and we receive the holy meal that Jesus has prepared for all of us, let's remember we're invited not because of anything that we have accomplished or anything that we have earned. We're invited to come to this table because of what God has accomplished and freely given to each of us through Jesus Christ. We come because of a love that runs deeper than life itself, a love that we are called to share with others. And for those of you receiving your first communion tonight, know that your whole church family is celebrating with you, because this is a precious gift given and shed for you, for all of us. Be filled with the warmth and joy, the love and the contentment. Be filled with that feeling that comes with belonging to a family. Tonight we all come to the table united as one to taste and see the goodness of our Lord. Amen.